Welcome to Federal Insights for April, a spotlight on cloud, sponsored by JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies.
No less than the federal government, state governments are looking to a combination of commercial cloud providers and their own data centers for mission delivery, as well as backup and recovery. For one state's strategy, I spoke with the Maryland Secretary of Information Technology, Michael Leahy.
To start with, we have a very robust relationship with Amazon Web Services, and they have been our principal partner in terms of public cloud. We maintain a rather significant private cloud ourselves through various devices and servers, and we also have a private data center that's located in Maryland, two locations in Maryland actually, that hold most of our data. I'm going to start that most of the cloud strategy is going to center initially on questions of security. And that goes both for our storage and compute and our disaster recovery strategies. With all the recent network breaches, DeWitt's been working really hard to incorporate additional layers of security within our AWS environment. And the two tools we've been working with most specifically of late are AWS's Security Hub and their Control Tower architecture. Effectively, Security Hub is a mix of security controls that can be used to take security to the next level, if you will. In addition to the Security Hub, we're also deploying Control Tower, and once Security Hub is fully deployed, we'll effectively have standardized security platforms that aggregate, organize, and prioritize our security alerts. And the AWS Control Tower is giving us an easy way to set up and govern our secure, compliant, multi-account environments based on AWS's best practices. And most interesting in that is DeWitt's creating standardized HIPAA-compliant accounts to basically ensure that all privacy rules have been met to ensure individual health information is protected and secured.
So it sounds like you have the tools to give you visibility into the cloud environment. Does that also extend to visibility into what's going on in the on-premises environment also?
Interestingly enough, it does. That's one of the significant advantages of working with tools that are applicable not only across the public cloud, but across our private cloud. For example, the use in our private clouds and in our data centers in Maryland, we are looking at using elastic block storage, which basically allows us to snapshot the data and the workflow processes in any of our accounts. And this is available across our AWS platform and our private platforms currently. We're also using infrastructure as code, which gives us the ability to redeploy entire accounts rather quickly and without error. And again, these things as tools make it much simpler to move information and to back it up in ways that we know are, 99.999% reliable. Obviously, our goal here, as I said, from the standpoint of security, is to make sure that we meet the NIST 853 security standards. And so far, the use of our private on-prem solutions and our data centers have been the focus of our modernization. I suspect over the next couple of years, there will be further implementation of moving to a public cloud. But at present, There are lots of legacy systems in the state, and we want to get our house in order before we start moving things outside of the boundaries of our firewalls and our control.
Got it. So maybe give us a snapshot right now of what workloads do exist in the cloud, or is that simply user productivity accounts, or do you also have some of the enterprise applications running in both data centers and clouds or only data centers? How does that all break down?
Certainly. For the most part, our use of public cloud to date is for those applications that require significant scalability. The example I'll give you is the state's vaccine management system. As you're aware, a month ago, as the vaccines started to become more plentiful, obviously there were any number of citizens that wanted to obtain the vaccine, and the state put a system in place to create first appointments and more recently a system of pre-registering to get the vaccine, where we would have 10,000 vaccine appointments accounted for and taken in less than a minute. So obviously, if the system was not built to scale, to take in 10,000 phone calls or web visits rather instantly, we would have had a much larger problem if the system had crashed. In terms of our private cloud and our data center, we're, you know, building what most folks would call large-scale network-attached storage. And effectively, we're in the planning stages of trying to determine whether we should have a shared platform for all of our clients, again, building more of an enterprise, or if for some agencies it makes sense to maintain their federated systems because of edge computing issues and latency issues.
Michael Leahy, Secretary of Information Technology for Maryland. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Modernize, automate, and transform your agency's IT operations with JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies. We modernize IT infrastructure with a cloud-smart approach, validate and instrument cybersecurity to optimize threat protection, and utilize intelligent automation to remove repeatable tasks, driving efficiency across the workforce. JTEC ensures critical systems are supported, allowing agencies to stay focused on their mission. Achieve limitless digital transformation. Visit JTEKDS.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Michael Leahy, Secretary of Information Technology for Maryland. Our topic is cloud and backup and recovery. Given the possibility of this large network attached storage array type of system, which would be part of your private cloud, would that back up to the public commercial cloud just as a way, if nothing else, for the economy of it versus building, you know, a backup attached network array system?
Absolutely. That is in the plan, that you can never have too many backups. I suspect that as we determine whether we are going to have a more significant enterprise-like storage capability, we will move that to the public cloud relatively quickly. With regard to agencies that have significant compute and storage within their own legacy systems, again, the controlling factor there is the modernization of those systems and their capacity to build the APIs and the data calls that don't require them to call separate databases and incur those fees.
Got it. Sure, because you have the data and you also have the application. So in the event of the need for a failover, then would the application logic also be in the cloud? That is to say, would it, and if so, would it be combined with the associated data in a kind of virtual machine that you could spin up if you had to?
I think the simple answer is yes. The devil is in the details, because obviously the key to that is the scalability of the application logic itself. And to the extent that the failover would be to the public cloud, given that we would have our NAS-based system and our private cloud as the initial failovers, if we got through both of those and something was still not operating in a way that was reasonable to expect the disaster recovery system to implement those applications in a timely way, we would have to be certain of that first, because if that third bite at the apple fails, the application is effectively lost until we can find what the cause is and reboot the system.
Sure. So in the absence of cloud, then you've got, I guess, maybe an expensive proposition as we move into the, you know, the IT future, the idea of redundant data centers and redundant instances of things that are either virtualized or not virtualized gets to be a real consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key there is, as you said, the function of what is the redundancy and how effective are we at training people in the proper use of those internal resources and the public cloud. And the example I'll give you is one that I'm sure most of your listeners have heard, that someone has a project for an application. They've decided they have to spin up 20 cores, and they forget to turn them off, and shockingly, a month later, they get a bill for $2 million.
Yeah, that we have heard of that type of thing happening, which means that when you have a hybrid infrastructure and a hybrid environment, that makes the issue of license management really, really critical, doesn't it? How do you manage that?
Right, absolutely. And that's what we're working on trying to solve today, that the governance is not only effective in terms of addressing any particular issue that could arise mid-process, but that it is simple enough so that the checklist of what folks are doing when they spin up those cores and should spin them down, or when they are going to move things between our NAS servers and the public cloud, that they have the ability and the responsibility and the authority to make certain that they aren't incurring additional expenses for the state by leaving certain things turned on that ought to be turned off when they're finished with the particular utilization at hand.
And getting back to the issue of storage that is replicated in the cloud, there are protocols for applications to address storage. And does the cloud enable you to replicate those in itself in the cloud such that perhaps the application doesn't need to be location aware when it is seeking data? And if that failover were to have to happen, that the application, say, is still running, but the storage array that has failed, that the application could seek the cloud version?
Well, you'll have to ask my engineers how we would do that. Obviously, that is one of the most important questions, because at that point, when you are utilizing the data in the cloud to continue to run the system, you are incurring those fees. And the issue becomes, is the failover genuinely a failure, or is it a blip, if you will, in system configuration that you could address within the NAS system itself? And those are the sorts of questions we're looking at before we look at moving things specifically to the cloud in terms of our disaster recovery.
Yes, that's all predicated on the general idea that it's cheap to put data into a cloud, but expensive to extract it.
Absolutely. And you know, the other interesting piece of all this, which is the next frontier, if you will, is there are going to be seemingly limitless opportunities to use robotic process automation and certain machine learning analytical tools that will give us more insight into how we are actually utilizing the cloud. But without that data, because each instance is very different, it's we think, unreasonable to make that leap and commit the, you know, future administrations to a particular methodology until we've proved it ourselves.
Because there are techniques, again, very highly engineering and technically detailed, but techniques where you can minimize data flows by caching certain often used data outside of the cloud and this kind of thing, deduplication of data, and those types of techniques. I imagine your engineers are looking at those also.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we as a state are right now in the process of beginning data assessments for each agency to determine what data they hold, how they're using it, and then, as you said, looking at the deduplication of various records. The simplest example I have is I had two agencies that were doing a project together and found that we had significant overlap where a single individual's name could have gone into their databases eight different ways. So they had eight records for the same person. And again, that bloat not only causes potential confusion because of one's analysis of the data, but creates behemoth data sets and data lakes, which we are attempting to minimize and have as small a set of data outside of our firewalls as possible.
Michael Leahy, Secretary of Information Technology for Maryland. We'll return with the third and final segment of this interview after the short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Modernize, automate, and transform your agency's IT operations with JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies. We modernize IT infrastructure with a cloud-smart approach, validate and instrument cybersecurity to optimize threat protection, and utilize intelligent automation to remove repeatable tasks, driving efficiency across the workforce. JTEC ensures critical systems are supported, allowing agencies to stay focused on their mission. Achieve limitless digital transformation. Visit JTEK.com.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Michael Leahy, Secretary of Information Technology for Maryland. We've been discussing the use of the commercial cloud for a variety of operations, including backup and recovery. And in thinking about future developments and new applications, what's the orientation toward what the mainframes can handle or what clouds can do? Or is there some consonance or some way of developing applications such that whatever the need is, they can be run from both facilities or either facility?
Well, I suspect as the state principally is using its mainframe these days in a rather limited way, and there doesn't seem to be a new set of COBOL engineers and programmers coming out of school that realize how the people who built this system, the finance system, 30 years ago, have kept the thing running over that period. There will eventually be a need, simply because of the disappearing skill sets, to move the particular applications and data sets to a more modern foundation. And I suspect that will originally be in our NAS storage and private cloud. But again, if the methodology using the public cloud proves robust and we've got the governance right, I could see them leapfrogging directly to that.
Sure. And so, yeah, so that means the modernization question becomes really important. Is there any possibility of commercial applications that can work with a state accounting? I mean, in the federal government, every agency basically, more or less, I should say, does accounting the same way according to federal accounting standards for the government.
Right.
What about states? I mean, does Maryland process the same way as its finances, as Pennsylvania or Delaware or Virginia or anything like that? Or is every state unto itself?
Well, I don't know the answer to that directly. I would suspect, based on what I do know, that each state because of the way they process information, has created workflows that, although they may rely on the same underlying accounting principles and finance principles, because of the difference in workflows, they are effectively very different systems. To the extent, you know, multiple states chose to adopt a methodology, as they have in many areas, you know, using NASBO contracts, and as you said, off-the-shelf commercial products, the key there is getting those of us in the bureaucracy that are used to doing things a particular way to change our mindset and adopt a different set of tools and a different set of processes to get the same work done. And that's the difficulty in any of these modernization activities, that folks are used to doing things the way they're used to doing them, and there is not only an educational process to undertake, but there's a change of mindset simply because folks don't trust things that they haven't used, and if the old system is still working, why should they change? So again, that's not in Maryland specifically, that's the nature of bureaucracy.
Sure. Then there's also the possibility of commercial products that are oriented towards state government that can be adapted to an individual state, and that would give you the possibility of being both mainframe and cloud compatible at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the example I'll give you of that is we have been implementing TBM, which is Technology Business Management, methodologies to provide agencies with a rather transparent bill of IT. Everything that we charge them for, they get to see in real time. And TBM allows us to track that, but I know our implementation is very different than Washington State or Arkansas's or Arizona's, because the four of us being early adopters have all talked about how we're doing things, and it's fascinating how you can approach the same problem, but because of you know, the differences of history, you arrive at very different answers.
Sure. So just to summarize then, how would you give the overall description to your disaster recovery backup plans vis-a-vis state mainframes and commercial clouds, just to summarize it for us?
Well, I think the simple summary is within the economics available, we wish to maintain disaster recovery and backup systems that give us more than one opportunity to save and retain and obtain use of data if another system fails. We have a number of tools that we're very excited about using the Amazon Web Services platform that we've begun implementing in the last 6 months. And as I've said, in the meantime, for the foreseeable future, our private cloud using our, you know, scaled network attached storage is going to be the principal solution.
Michael Leahy, Secretary of Information Technology for Maryland. To hear this interview in its entirety or to share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for April, a spotlight on cloud, sponsored by JTEC Data Solutions and Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.